Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, a quick reminder, college basketball fans, how would you like to win potentially $1,000? Go to the contest page, 92.9thegame.com, and sign up for 92.9 The Game's March Bracket Challenge. All right? Choose your teams to advance starting this Sunday. And to participate with the best overall bracket, the participant that is with the best overall bracket is going to win a $1,000 Visa gift card. Easy grand, man. And you're having fun. So all you need to do is go sign up on the contest page at 92.9thegame.com. Our thanks to Brad Guzan for jumping in with this. Interesting, you know, about that meeting. And we're going to get to our NFL Blitz segment here in just a second and talk about what's going on. A couple of Falcons not returning to the squad, as we found out late yesterday. But I found it interesting that he said, you know, the meeting with Frank DeBoer was give and take. And a lot of times when, you know, you're a new manager in these situations, it's literally, let me sit you guys down and tell everybody what they're not doing. That was good to hear because I think Frank DeBoer, from his previous experiences, Mike, realizes he's got experienced guys in that room. What do you guys think? Brad, what do you think? Nagby, what do you think? Right. You know, and get some of this stuff off of your chest, but also it opens up a dialogue about the team that needs to be there. So that was good news to hear, man.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people look at Frank because he's Dutch, and Dutch is almost being German, but don't never tell a Dutchman that. They would say, no way. But it's, you know, it's a different vibe. You know what I mean? It's a different energy. It's like, you know, and people feel like it's going to be like, it's Frank's Vay, it's a high Vay. And that's not the way apparently it's going, according to Brad. That was really cool to hear. And as we said, guys, we're not going to be sitting here with, like, you know, pom-poms, and we're not paid to do that. We're paid to tell it like it is. But it was very difficult on Monday to be positive about the team after, you know, drawing against an expansion club. But to go put an effort in against one of the best teams in North America the way they did last night and, you know, get some confidence back, get a little swagger back, you know, and there'll be more things coming our way. Now, again, if it goes south, you can't take that positives and then not build on this Sunday, as Brad said, against Philadelphia. So let's hope that they step it up and do it. Otherwise, we'll be right back to square one where we'll be going bananas on Monday if they throw a stinker out there.
Now, we, as far as the Falcons are concerned, as we shift gears and talk a little NFL with you guys, and you can always text us, by the way, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We signed a couple of offensive linemen. We've been talking about it. Jamon Brown and obviously James Carpenter, both offensive guards that are going to be put into the lineup. But a couple of guys we've been familiar with here, one of them was a offensive guard for us, and that's Andy LaVitre. He puts out on Instagram yesterday, guys, and I know it was down and Facebook was having issues, but that he will not be back with our Falcons. And we saw Andy at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and he kind of told us, and he really told us he didn't know where his future lied. And he's a good dude, but he just could not, unfortunately, overcome that tricep injury, which jammed him up twice, you know, at the end of a year before and then last year. So that's why we had so many guys at musical chairs at the guard position.
And Marvin Hall is moving on, Mike. He says that his time with the Falcons has come to an end. He'd like to thank Mr. Blank.
Marvin, good kid. You know, he made some great catches. That gigantic. Remember that deep ball from Matt Ryan this year?
Yeah.
Down the seam? Beautiful pass. Marvin's, I told you, we went to the preseason game against the Steelers two summers ago with my wife up in Pittsburgh. And we sat next to Marvin Hall's buddies and his uncle. And he dropped the ball in the end. So, like, damn it, Marvin, you got to catch that. He's trying to make the squad. Guy's got blazing speed. And, you know, he's still working on some of the hands. So, again, maybe he'll catch out with another team. Wish him luck. Good dude.
All right, man. Lots of stuff going on in and around the National Football League. Let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike. The Dolphins met with free agent quarterback Teddy Bridgewater Wednesday evening. No deal was announced at the meeting, but Bridgewater likely will have to decide between New Orleans as a backup and potentially a long-term option to replace Drew Brees, obviously, at some point. Or do you go to the Dolphins? What do you do if you're Bridgewater?
Well, I mean, where you get a chance to play? Unless you felt, like, as you said, that we thought Drew Brees might be a good fit. You know, he's going to go away at some point if Sean Payton develops a relationship with Teddy Bridgewater. And, again, the knee's back after being basically spaghetti at the end of his run with Minnesota. Some thought he'd never play again. There's also been stories, and there's no way the Saints could do this because they got no leverage and no juice to trade, that Sean Payton really likes Kyler Murray, but so what? You got no shot at that this season.
No, and Bo, I want to bring you into the conversation. The Saints did a very similar thing with their cap as we did with their quarterback, freeing up $10 million.
Yeah, almost $11 million, but yeah, just north of 10. And apparently there are reports, now some conflicting stuff on it, but there are reports that basically This could cost him around $40 million cap hit next season. So 2020, not 2019. We're already in 2019. 2020, $40 million. Just so you know, when Matt Ryan bumped up his cap hit was set to be around 30 next year. Now I think it's going to be around 31, 32-ish.
Right.
That's almost $8 million more of a cap hit for Drew Brees.
Wow. But again, guys, this goes back to what we heard yesterday, if you missed our conversation with our capologist. Who's our buddy?
Joe Corey,
who came on from CBS Sports, saying that it really is you feel good about it, but you're still just putting off the inevitable. At some point, these are decisions that you can only keep moving that money around so often unless you're Tom Brady and you're willing to take less than street value.
Yeah. You're seeing more and more teams take a hit. We saw the Steelers take a big one, $21 million, right? You've seen teams decide, okay, we're willing to make a move, like the Giants, $16 million cap hit. Mm. So the Jaguars cut Blake Bortles, and it's going to cost them $16 million as a cap hit this year. Nick Foles was introduced today, guys, and he says the most important thing is the locker room. Talking to reporters, it's about the team. It's about the locker room. It's about playing with one another. I don't know what Nick Foles is going to do down there, Mike. I like what he did in Philly. Some people say it was a system deal. He won't be as productive. He's got to be a better option than Bortles, right?
Well, as we said, is he the streakiest quarterback in the world? He's got a postseason resume that there's a lot of guys like Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan's slightly better, but you look at his postseason record, he's got big wins. He put it together the way that Flacco did when they won in 2012. I think that's coming from Tom Coughlin in his meeting with the guys kind of running the show in Jacksonville. Apparently, there's a lot of dysfunction in that locker room. Leonard Fournette, the guy that we thought was going to – and he may still be a superstar, but apparently there's a lot of strange things that were going on in that locker room. I thought for a minute the coach might get got, but they're going to stay with their man. Here's the deal, though, with Foles. He's never going to be as good as that money. Let's be real.
Yeah.
He's never going to be as good as that contract. That was the perfect storm for him in Philadelphia. I mean, how many other of these backup quarterbacks, Matt Cassel, Scott Mitchell, take your pick, that have gone out there and gotten these big contracts, who actually live up to it.
I just want to use Bortles as an example. We've been talking a lot about Kyler Murray and the quarterbacks in this particular draft. And this is an example of why Murray chose the NFL. Even if he doesn't pan out, just to give you an example, Bortles received $15 million signing bonus last year. Then he got $5 million. And then he also received another $5 million in base salary for 2018. Point is, that's $25 million over the last couple of years that Blake Bortles has received, Mike. And here he is now looking for a job. Kyler Murray, and I use this as an the Major League Baseball thing was great. But at that position, if you're halfway decent, you can make a lot of money.
And that's the thing. He'll go wear a baseball hat. As you said, he'll still get paid. Doug Marrone, by the way, that's the name that escaped me earlier. Doug Marrone, the coach of the Jaguars, saying, we really think his best days are ahead of him. Talking about Nick Foles. He's really played well of late, and we're excited to have him on our team. What do you expect him to say? But, with a good run game and Foles there, I mean, they're going to go and beef up the wide receiver core? Is that something they might try to do in the draft? I mean, they're still in a division that's winnable, although, let's be honest, the Colts have really got back in the driver's seat, you could argue, in that division.
I think so, and the Texans,
And the Texans, too, especially if they make the right moves in the offense. They've got to give Deshaun Watson protection and get a better offensive line.
Yeah, it's Colts, Texans, you're right, in that division. It is Dukes and Bellis, our NFL Blitz segment, guys. D. Orlando Ledbetter on the way in 10 minutes to talk specifically about the Falcons. He's also at Clemson's Pro Day, which has a few guys the Falcons may be interested in. We'll talk to D-Led coming up. Eric Berry cut June 1 designation, guys, and with the agreement. And I said this a couple of days ago, Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, he was expendable. And it's unfortunate. Eric Berry can play. Problem is, last couple of seasons he's been banged up. Mike, we talk about it with the Falcons. I can't evaluate you if you're not on the field. And for Eric Berry, who was going to make $12.4 million this season, it was just too much for the Kansas City Chiefs to bite off.
Well, they had a really awful secondary. I know they went and got the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, but you trade D4 to the 49ers. You cut bait on Justin Houston. Will the last member of that defense turn out the lights? Their secondary was one of the worst in the league, right? How does this make them better? I understand they gave up all those points, and you could argue there's only one way to go is up. But the guys that actually did their jobs in Houston and Ford aren't there anymore.
Yeah, the D1, the designated June 1st cut, June 1 designation, that means that they'll clear $9.5 million in cap space while still being stuck with $6.9 in dead money.
It's our NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell. Antonio Brown did not want to leave Pittsburgh without saying goodbye. Brown purchased electronic billboard spots. You've seen these guys on the interstates on 8575, the digital. So multiple messages, but he's bought some time. It says, thank you, Pittsburgh, AB84.
Well, listen, it's the least he could do. He's got a new guaranteed $30 million deal. Here's Antonio Brown on being a Raider.
I'm just excited to be here, man. I'm grateful for Mr. Gruden giving me the opportunity. And I'm excited about the process of being here as an Oakland Raider. The last year in Oakland, to know that, you know, I have a part of that being on that team. So I'm trying to put a stamp here and get fans excited.
That's the very contrite Antonio Brown making his debut for the Silver and Black.
I'm not used to that. Here's Antonio Brown, by the way, the message to Steeler fans, as Mike mentioned with the billboards. Here's what he had to say publicly.
Well, I know it's a sad day for, you know, seeing me leave, but, tell all the kids, man, live your dreams, you know, continue to work hard, and hope that I continue to encourage you.
Yeah, tell all the kids out there your coach gives you an inch, take a mile, alienate your teammates, get into a fight with your quarterback, quit on the team in the final game of the season, have your agent communicate with the coach, and then skate and get a huge raise. Oh, message to the kids.
That's not all. Facebook Live doing a post game that your coach says, put all phones away, by the way.
Peace out.
He did everything.
Live your dreams, kids.
That he wanted. Mike, there was no accountability. Will there be accountability with the Raiders?
Well, that's you. As you just touched on it when we started the show, wait till Carr starts sailing some of those passes.
You got to see this video. I'm telling you. Oh, bro, special delivery. Carr's like, oh, man, hey, welcome.
Yeah. Now, Derek Carr, and you and I have talked about this. You know, go back a couple of years ago when he got injured, the Raiders just completely went off the rails. We really thought they had a team that could have actually met us in the Super Bowl the year that it wound up being the Ravens, right? And the year we went in 16.
Yes.
That's a year that certainly the Steelers had a team. I should say the Steelers didn't. The Raiders had a team that maybe could have gone into Foxborough and given the Patriots something. But Derek Carr has not been the same. And again, you don't have to tell you guys. They move on from Khalil Mack. They move on from Cooper. By the way, Khalil Mack moved some of his money in Chicago.
Mm.
He takes a signing bonus to move some money up in his deal to free up cap space for the Bears. That went down late yesterday.
Team players. By the way, there are a bunch of free agents still on the market. 39 remain available as of this morning. There are a couple of players that we've been talking about. Most guys, though, realize it. Like, for example, Grady. The top guys have been franchise tagged, which gives those teams an opportunity to work out a long-term deal. But, you know, the two top available players are former Eagles cornerback Ronald Darby. He was slotted as the 18th best free agent in this particular class. And then you have Ndamukong Suh, Mike, at 23.
Yeah, I think he's going to take a bit of a hit because he's not getting any younger. And there were still some games, even with the Rams, surrounded by better talent, Carl, than he had in Miami, where he didn't bring the heat. You could pick his really great games for the Rams on one hand last season.
Yeah, and actually, I think it was the two playoff games. Golden Tate, Muhammad Wilkerson, Bruce Irvin. We've talked about wanting him back here.
Real quick, if it's right, the price has to be right. I know we're taking on the chin, keeping Vic Beasley around, picking up that option. But we've gotten physical with our offensive line. We've got bigger guys. We'll talk with D-Led about that coming up, including our new, more physical blocking tight end. But how about, maintaining some sort of playing personality with pass rush with a guy like Bruce Irvin? I thought he was a good fit in the locker room last year.
I did, too. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix is out there. Clay Matthews, although there are reports that he may end up on the West Coast. Randall Cobb, just some of the guys that are out there free agent-wise. So a lot of guys still not signed. We'll see where this goes over the next few days.
I wonder what Aaron Rodgers felt about the Packers not being able to pull the trigger on Le'Veon Bell.
Ooh.
I wonder where they go. Are they going to miss the playoffs for a second year in a row?
That would have been I thought that was a great landing spot for him.
Really thought it would really make that offense so dynamic. Good news for us is we got the beef. Now, can Devontae Freeman live up to that paycheck this year?
Coming up, D. Orlando Ledbetter. We'll break down the moves the Falcons have made and some moves that they might make moving forward. Atlanta soccer fans, join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Carriage Kia in Woodstock from noon to 2 next Saturday for a meet and greet with Atlanta soccer players Michael Parkhurst, Jeff Larunowitz. And Mike Conti, Jason Longstreet will be out there broadcasting live, talking all things soccer, guys. Stop by for a chance to win cool prizes and an autographed Michael Parkhurst jersey.
Yeah, man, go say hi to Big Red. Now let's go say hi to Big D Led. It's our man, D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC. Joins us from Death Valley, man. Did you touch Howard's Rock?
I didn't come down the hill today, but I've seen that happen a lot of times over the years.
D-Led, we signed a couple of offensive guards. I want to get your assessment this week of the signings of Jamon Brown and James Carpenter and what this means for our offensive line moving forward.
Yeah, definite upgrades, Carl, no question about it. Both guys are serviceable or better NFL linemen. They've combined to play 135 games. You know, they do have some downsides, both of them. Carpenter played in the outside zone scheme in Seattle, but not very well. So they both look like more power blockers than the scheme fit that we were looking for. So that's signaling some change among our offensive lines. And Jamin had a tough time in L.A. or with the Rams, but kind of stabilized things up there in New York. He's a mauler in the run game, whereas his pass protection has been an issue at times. So, but still definite upgrades, you know, with 26-year-old and 30-year-old guys to move forward with. I still don't think it pulls you off a lineman if somebody really, really good is there at 14.
And that's the question, D. We felt that, you know, at some point, especially with all those contracts we're going to have to handle down the road on the defensive side with Debo and then later on Keanu Neal, having an inexpensive offensive lineman under contract would be nice as a draft pick.
Yeah, no question about it. It'd be great if he could play.
Are they just scared away from it? They're just going to continue to do it this way through free agency?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't worked. The drafting thing hasn't worked. But this can't be the long, you know, long-term fix. Jake's, you know, worked. They got him. He's the only draft pick on that line. So, I guess when they're up high enough, they're okay with it. But, it's three linemen, the Florida kid, Cody Ford out of Oklahoma, and Jonah Williams. When do they go? You know, which one of them do you like? Do you like them enough to take them at 14? Can they swing? Can they play two spots for you right away? So they're going to do their homework on that, and we'll see how they go.
Now, D. Orlando Ledbetter joining us, guys, Falcons beat writer, and he is at Clemson's Pro Day today, and obviously there are a few guys there that we might be interested in. Christian Wilkins, obviously Dexter Lawrence, Cleveland Farrell. What did you see and what did you hear about these guys in their pro day today?
Lawrence had talked to the Falcons and Austin Bryant, the one in and the one defensive tackle, the big defensive tackle. Christian Wilkins told me he has not talked to him at the combine or here or had anything set up for him. And Cleveland Farrell, the real articulate young man, who re-aggravated a toe and didn't work out today. So it wasn't a really good, productive pro day in regards to seeing anybody do much, if anything. Just some of the lower-level guys working drills and stuff like that. Trayvon Mullen, the cornerback, is also in that group, and his folks said the Falcons are looking at him too pretty heavily. So, certainly the Falcons have a history of taking Clemson guys. Interesting that they haven't talked to Christian Wilkins, but I thought he'd be in their wheelhouse at 14. And Lawrence is the bigger of the kids up there at 320, 340. Some people have him at, and so that'd be a big old plug to put right next to Grady if he could. You get over the fact that he has the PED suspension.
Right. Dexter Lawrence, he goes a little bit higher in the draft, or I should say lower in the draft, around like 25 and higher. Christian Wilkins, there's some mock drafts where we get him, but D-Led just said they haven't talked to the man. Ed Oliver sounds like the guy you think Dan Quinn's salivating over?
Yeah, but he's gone. He's long gone. He's not going to make it to 14. He won't make it past Detroit. So unless they're going to trade up to go get him, I don't see Ed Oliver getting to the Falcons.
Mm. It is D. Orlando Ledbetter. D, when we talk about, skill positions, we've had a couple of guys on our program already who said, listen, I don't know if I'd take either one of these corners. We're talking about Greedy Williams or DeAndre Baker out of Georgia in the first round. Do you disagree with that? Because we know that the Falcons also are in need of another corner.
Well, they got to take one in the first round. There's a school of thought that said that because the top three corners after them, they all drop off. And the other one is Trayvon Mullen, who is Lamar Jackson's cousin. Mm-hmm. Up here at Clemson, ran really, really fast. He's bigger than Baker. Ran a 4.47. Baker ran that 4.5 something. They don't like his work ethic is what we're hearing. Greedy Williams won't tackle anybody. So, now we kind of got to switch over to Mullen and do some homework on him to see if he's worthy of 14. The Falcons got to get a corner because you know, they cut their top two of their top three corners. So, and there's not going to be one in the second or the third round that's NFL ready unless their scouts have done a really good job of finding them.
It's the AJC's Dear Orlando Ledbetter guys live on the WadeFord.com hotline from up at Clemson's Pro Day. So, again, if you just missed what D said, there's not great rankings or numbers as we talked to the scouts about the corners. And they didn't go and get a corner in free agency, D, because that market was kind of either expensive and then it kind of dropped down too. So we're kind of forced to go pick a guy at some point in this draft as a corner.
And the good thing, Mike, is that one of my good agent friends today said, you know, that there are 16 defensive tackles with first-round grades. So you can get the D tackle later.
Okay.
It might not be Dexter Lawrence, but there's somebody, you know, with a first-round grade you can get at 14 in the second round. Maybe not in the third, but you certainly can go with your major need at 14 and come back to the tackle in the second round, maybe the third. And we saw that last year where they went, surprised us, went wide receiver early, right, and then they come back to the tackle in the third with Deidre Sinnott. They can kind of do that again here this year, go corner in the first and come back to tackle later.
D, are there any updates? I see, you know, the post by Keanu Neal and some of the other guys that are working to get back. Any updates on their physicality as far as, you know, where they're at in their rehab?
Yeah, Coach Quinn gave it to us at the combine, and we kind of got buried it all in all that stuff. I should just pulled it out and made an injury report, but I can go down the list for you.
Okay.
They're not expecting anybody back before training camp. Keanu's ahead of the game. They're being real slow with Ricardo because you've seen where some guys come back from that and blow the other one.
Right.
You know, Croy didn't. Spoon did. Those are the two major ones. Devontae's running from the sports hernia surgery. And Brandon Fusco is not running yet because that's a broken ankle. You got to wait for that to heal first, and then you start the conditioning part of it. And, you know, those are the four I remember off my head. If there's anybody else, I know I got it. Hmm. It's just all in that combine stuff, and we need to pull it in. They don't even care about the off-season program for any of these guys. They want them back by training camp for sure and by the beginning of the season secondarily.
All right, D, it's Dear Orlando Ledbetter than the AJC breaking it down for us here. What about a guy like Bruce Irvin? Put up some decent numbers. I mean, could they afford him? I mean, he's not gone anywhere yet.
Yeah, they're a little tight. They told me they wanted him at the combine, but it was kind of a wait-and-see type of deal. Joe Siegel, his agent, you know, had Michael Vick. He usually gives us a heads-up if something's going on, but you can read the numbers right now and see they don't have any money for him. But, you know, they can get Julio done and open up a spot for Bruce, you know, at a $6, $7 million spot. I don't know if he thought he was going to get the 10-14 spot. That's usually what the case is. The guys are overvaluing themselves. But at this point, after the money's gone and all of the $50 million deals are done, then the guys have to sink into reality. And the $6, $7 million deal might be pretty good as opposed to the zero deal sitting at home with us watching it.
D, it's official now, and I say that because the Falcons said they were going to do it, and yesterday Vic Beasley's contract became fully guaranteed, the 12.8. How, in your opinion, do you think Dan Quinn goes about getting him to where he wants him? And that's the thing. We want him at a certain level. You might want him at a certain level. But mm-hmm. Dan Quinn, how does he go about this? And does he incorporate maybe the services of some other folks, or is it just DQ all about it?
Well, DQ's name's on the line here. This will be his third defensive line coach. Cox couldn't get it. Brian Young couldn't get it. And Coach Quinn's taking this as a special project on his own. Mm-hmm. And he told us at the combine, we wrote about a couple weeks ago, he said, Vic's probably not going to be real happy with me, but we're getting ready to get after it, you know. And I think him being a former D-line coach, you know, trained Jason Taylor, who went to the Hall of Fame, you know, all those guys out in San Francisco he worked with. You know, Vic can't really buck him. You know, if he tell him to do a double move, he better do it. And, you know, taking over Vic, taking over the defense, you know, Coach knows that. He knows what's going on here. He's got to win. He's got to get something out of Vic, you know, to warrant them staying with him and paying him this $12.8 million. So you know, Coach Quinn's going to earn his money this year, basically, is what it amounts to. And he knows it. He told us that, so I'm sure he told it to Vic, too.
All right, D, just to review, we're going to get a little more physical with the offensive line. Obviously, between Dirk Cutter, Mike Mularkey, and the size of these dudes that we're picking up, I mean, kind of like what the Eagles do, a combination, as you said earlier, like some zone and some inside and some real good old-fashioned just knocking guys off the ball?
Oh, yeah, I think third and one is not going to be a pass play anymore.
Inside joke, but not really. Mm-hmm. D-Led, we appreciate you as always, man, and we're looking forward to seeing what you write about these Clemson guys and their pro workouts. It's pro day today down there. D, thanks so much.
Thanks, Colin, Mike. Take care. Thanks for having me.
All right, man.
That's our man, D. Orlando Ledbetter. And again, Christian Wilkins, they're not talking to you. Why aren't you talking to Christian Wilkins?
But I hope you heard what he said, because this gets back to what we've been talking about here on the program. They may have a corner, right, rated higher, knowing that they can go get that defensive tackle later, which is going to be like, wait a minute, why are we going after corner? It's a numbers game. If you can go get a guy that can still help your football team in the second or third round at that position, and did he say 16 guys are rated as first round draft picks?
The year we expected linebacker, they went with Keanu Neal at safety, kind of surprised us. So certainly, guys, you can go defensive back, you can go O-line, which is music to my ears.
Yeah. Mike Conte, in case you missed it, next.
I got good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Coming up at 4 o'clock, guys, we'll talk about what's going on in college football. A bunch of pro days happening. Clemson, one of them. We'll also talk about some more draft prospects and whatnot. Also, Braves conversation all the way in the 4 o'clock hour. What's the 25-man roster going to look like? But right now, it's time for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
2 weeks from today, as a matter of fact, the Braves open the regular season
Crazy.
In Philadelphia. So it's almost here. So I have a little medley of baseball-themed In Case You Missed It content here.
Perfect.
Now, we were talking about our buddy Jose Canseco the other day and this whole mess with A-Rod getting engaged to J-Lo, and then Jose Canseco crying foul on the internet, on Twitter, because, you know, I guess there may or may not have been a thing with A-Rod and Jose Canseco's ex-wife.
I saw something she came out, by the way, denying that.
Mm-hmm. Not that it really even matters.
It doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, they used to have a thing, but apparently it predates his relationship with J-Lo.
That's what it appears. But Jose Canseco is not letting it go, guys.
Uh-oh.
Jose Canseco is tweeting again. And he tweets at his ex-wife, Jessica. Jessica, you're calling me a liar. I guess this is in response to what she had tweeted yesterday, Carl. Right. Jessica, you're calling me a liar. You just forced me to defend myself and tell the truth. Here comes the biggest story ever about Alex Rodriguez and yourself. The truth hurts. Do not turn away or hide from a polygraph.
Ooh.
Should point out, by the way, that Jose Canseco does not believe in using punctuation marks or capitalizing anything in a sentence. So that was one very long run-on
so
sentence.
So it's kind of like E.E. Cummings. It's kind of has its own style. Right.
Yeah, a little bit. That's a very generous comparison. Here's another tweet. Remember when you told me you were man's man? Alex, show me now how much of a man you really are. Face the truth. Face a polygraph. For those of you who don't know, polygraph's a lie detector test. It's what they use on a lot of reputable TV programs, such as the Maury Povich Show.
You can beat them, though, right? Can't you beat them?
Yeah. Well, we saw at Ocean's 11, you just put a tack on your foot, and you have excruciating pain. Mike, on your control questions, you go, yes!
Yeah. I know on the Maury Povich Show, when they're interrogating people as to whether or not they're cheating on their significant other, the results are pretty foolproof there.
Right.
Jose Canseco didn't drop it, by the way. This is the third tweet now. Jennifer, meaning Jennifer Lopez, I hear you're a very good person. I'm sorry you're caught up in the middle of this, but the truth has to be told.
Ooh. Oh.
Now, let's go back to what we had talked about earlier in the week. Jose Canseco is being a little bit messy here. There is nothing, in my opinion, there is nothing that can be gained by Jose Canseco by doing this other than getting three guys in Atlanta to talk about him on the radio.
Right.
It's not his business.
It's not his business.
Nothing happened whilst they were married. At least I don't believe that's what he's alleging.
Right. Right.
But do you want to see him take a polygraph?
Well, here's the thing. It's Dukes and Bell. It's In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte. First of all, would you take one? I don't know if you've ever been in it. Like, if someone said, would you take a poly?
You know why?
Why?
I don't trust the guy running the poly.
I don't either. I don't either.
I had to at a bar I worked at. If you were going to get keys to the register and take the night deposit, you had to do the polygraph. They want to make sure about your criminal record. Yeah. It's creepy. It's your nervous.
Wait, hold on. So they would polygraph you before you stole money?
No, in other words, make sure you're not going to steal the money. Oh. Because you've stolen money before.
Four. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So they would ask right. you, have you stolen money right. before? And they would wire you up.
How much money are we talking about, Mike?
Well, in the old days, you know, in a good Thursday or Friday or Saturday night.
How much money are we talking about?
You know, you popped out. I took the thing directly to the night deposit box. When I worked at Pedro Harris at the South Street Seaport, we go directly to Chase Manhattan Bank.
Okay.
Right there on John Street.
Deposit it?
Right in there. Right here we go. Well, you couldn't open up because it was locked anyway by the other manager who had the key. It would take two guys in cahoots to steal from them.
Okay. I'm with you, Conti, on this. Yeah. Somebody asked me this years ago, would you take a polygraph? No.
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 No, the machine could be broken.
Well, I passed it, so I guess I did something right in my life.
No. And chances are it'll work out okay. But what if the machine is broken?
Right.
What if the guy running the machine is drunk or under the influence of illicit drugs? You know, I don't trust people. Like, I know when I'm telling the truth. If you ask me what my favorite drink is and I say gin and tonic, right. I know I'm telling the truth. If I were to tell you a whiskey sour, I would be lying. But I don't trust the machine to, you know, correctly indicate if I'm telling the truth.
By the way, if there is somebody listening who works as a private investigator or has experience with a polygraph, we'd love to get one in here. We could have some fun with it.
Well, that would be very enlightening. Who would you like to wire up first on the polygraph?
Oh, he starts with T and ends with X.
All right. More positive baseball news. More positive baseball news. Again, we're doing a medley of baseball.
Yes, sir, we are.
Opening day.
Season's on the way.
How about that?
Did you see the Players Union today? And forgive me if you've already talked about it. The Players Union today gave its thumbs up to a series of rule changes governing, you know, the commercial breaks between innings are going to be a little bit shorter. They're changing the rules for the All-Star game now where in the 10th inning, if it goes to extra inning, it starts with a runner on second, and anyone taken out of the game can come back in. That's interesting.
I hate that.
Well, we can debate that. I really like this rule change, though. The All-Star game now is going to offer a $2 million purse
Ooh.
For home run derby contestants, with the winner nice. Taking $1 million.
Wow. Now, do you believe in that little – it's not a curse, Mike, but guys do get spent and seem to take a tail off in the second half.
I'm a Philadelphia Phillies fan. Bobby Abreu ruined his career as a result
of the home run derby. Wright hasn't been the same. He has other injuries, but the Mets, remember, David Wright wasn't good after it.
Yeah, no, I believe that. That's a real thing. But they're offering $1 million now to the winner, trying to entice the biggest names in baseball to participate in the Home Run Derby, which makes me think, and this is something that Hugh brought up on the morning show today, Adam Silver.
Yeah.
You dangle out $1 million for the slam dunk contest.
Right. You got the money.
Yeah. They have more than enough money, believe me. I'm sure they could get a sponsor to pony up $1 million and make All-Star Saturday night a little bit bigger. You want to, like, we always complain about how LeBron's never in the dunk contest. Mm-hmm. All the really good, like Giannis, not in the dunk contest. All the guys you really want to see.
Right.
Baseball's setting the tone here. I like this.
I do, too.
NBA, are you listening?
Yeah, I do, too. You got to up the ante. I've said this over the last few years, probably last decade. Guys have been bailing out. It's just not become as important. The pride thing hasn't played because guys, again, are getting $25 million.
Right.
So, listen, $1 million is $1 million, Mike. And all I need to do is go hit, you know, three rounds of home runs.
You got
to
win.
You do. But I think that's a nice added incentive. I do.
I agree.
By the way, Mike Conti brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscles and bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics, guys. They do great work. As I've said, I was taking my daughter there for a broke foot. They are tremendous.
And by the way, Aaron Judge, I looked it up. He dropped, like, I think 35, 40 points in his average the year he did the home run.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
In the second half.
I would love for someone, you know, to actually do the research over the last 10 years and measure that, because you're right about Aaron Judge. Right. I keep going back to Bobby Abreu. Was never the same since. Never the same after that. I remember, in fact, another Philly, Jimmy Rollins, remember him? He might even still be in the league.
Yeah, J-Row.
He did this promotion where he was trying to hit a home run like 800 feet from the Art Museum steps to the fountain in Philadelphia.
Wow.
And they were worried he was going to tweak his back doing it because it takes a lot of torque. And he's not a big guy. Like, you got to be really, really careful when you swing for the fences. Unintended.
I just found it because search the internet. Back in 17, there was a mathematician who said there is no home run derby curse, and then right after that's when Aaron Judge had his tail off in the second.
But
half
that
season.
Statistician on the polygraph, let's see how he does.
Right.
Maybe he's dishonest.
Nerd.
Mike Conti, in case you missed it, he'll join us again in the 5 o'clock hour. Hey, on the way, some pro days we're paying attention to and some players we might be interested in. It's all on the way here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.